Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, if you have your Bible, grab it, stand to your feet and turn with me to the book of Judges, chapter 6. I want to start a new series today called Difference Makers, and this is a passion topic for me. I want all of God's people to know that they can be difference makers. I want every single person to have the understanding that if you walked in here jacked up today, guess what? You still can be a difference maker. If you walked in here doing the best that you've ever done in life, there's still more that God can use you in and he wants you to do. I want you to know today, God wants you. He has a destiny. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. And we're going to find such a person in Judges, the sixth chapter, a young man who made an incredible difference, and obviously we're still talking about him today because of what he did for God, or rather I should probably say what God did through him. And so I want to look at Judges chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in the 11th verse. And what's happening is the people of Midian have been oppressing the children of God for years and years, and every time that they would plant they would come and destroy it. They would come and steal their stuff and just take it away from them. And they were just being menaces, really. And we would be like, wow, shame on the Midianites. That's terrible. But the reasons that was happening was because the people of God had not been obedient to the will of God or the plan of God to stay committed to him. And so anytime we turn our back on God, bad things begin to happen in our life. And so this is what's happening in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Oprah. Now, that's not the Oprah that you know. Like, you get a terebinth tree, and you get a terebinth tree. This is a place which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son, Gideon, threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites, because they were coming and stealing everything, menaces that they were. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" I feel like there's so many people that are living there today. Like, I go to church, I'm a Christian, and you are always telling me, Spencer, God is for me and not against me. You're always telling me that we believe in miracles, and y'all pray every single Sunday for miracles. But I want to ask you a question. If God is really for us, and if God still really does miracles, where are all the miracles? Don't worry. Gideon was in the exact same place, and he asked the exact same question, and we're gonna find out today. Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, I want to point this out very quickly. God does not get mad at the fact that Gideon questions, "Where are the miracles?" You know why? Because I think that what God really is looking at is he's wondering, are there people that are looking for miracles? I think other people probably weren't even looking for miracles. But God said, "I see some hunger inside of Gideon. I see some desire inside of him, some passion that nobody else has. And so I'm going to show up to Gideon. I'm going to use that guy because he's a mighty man of valor. He just doesn't know it yet." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've called, chosen, and prepared us for this moment today, even as Mordecai would look at his niece Esther when she was about to be the difference maker that would save the Israelites from total extinction. And he would say to her, "Who's to know if it were not for such a time as this that you were born?" God, I pray that we would all come into that revelation that we weren't born by accident, but we were born on purpose for a purpose. And you have a plan, a master plan to make us difference makers, not just in the kingdom, but in the world. Father, I thank you that your church is a heavenly community that is planted in an earthly community with the power to transform earthly communities to look like kingdom communities. May that be so in our midst today. And as we go out from this place, may we go out from here making a difference in the lives that we encounter and touch by the power of you being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. As I said earlier, I want to start a new series called Difference Makers. Here's what I want to do. I want to stir your faith. Paul would write to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he said, hey man, stir up the gift of God that's inside of you through the laying on of my hands. I believe that there's things that God has placed, intrinsic things inside of each and every one of us. There's talents, there's abilities, there's strengths, there's desires, there's dreams, there's hopes. There's stuff that, you know, just like you have your own fingerprint, you have your own spiritual DNA that God has placed inside of you that he wants to use you to make a difference at your job, at your school, in your neighborhood, in our community, and in this church. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I believe that we should go there knowing we're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. We're carrying authority that we have, not because of who we are on our own, but because of who we are with Jesus being inside of us. And so I want to stir your faith to believe for something bigger than whatever you've dreamed before. Maybe you say, hey, Spencer, you don't even know my dreams, man. My dreams are bigger. I would venture to say that God's dreams are even bigger than your dreams. What you think is impossible, God says, I can do it with just one word. I can do it with just my will being performed in that situation. God says, I can do it. And so what I want to say today is if you've come into this place and you're passionate for God, you're vehemently serving the Lord, you're waking up, you're seeking him, you're doing everything that you can to make a difference in this world, then I want to simply be this in your life. I want to be the friend or the family member that would come and stand alongside, like if you were running a marathon, and would just say, hey, keep going, don't give up, don't quit. You know, you need those people. I know Logan's run a marathon before, but I would venture to say that that means so much that when you come around the corner and you see your family member, you see a friend, and they would just say, hey, keep going, don't quit. Or maybe it's a total stranger and they're offering you some water or they're encouraging you. If you're going after God, I just want to be that person that I say, hey, keep going, don't quit. Because it's easy to grow weary in well-doing. If it were not so, Paul wouldn't have written us and told us to not grow weary in well-doing. But maybe if you come here today and you find yourself in a place of complacency, my hope is that God would allow me to be a spiritual agitator. And that actually makes me very excited. I'm an oldest sibling, and oldest siblings are the best agitators in the world, okay? I have a PhD in agitation. And so I'm excited today to hopefully maybe you just get annoyed enough to go, you know what? Okay, I'll do something. I will be used by God. You have annoyed me to the nth degree. I'm tired of hearing you tell us that we're gonna have community transformation and there's gonna be revival and reformation. Fine, I will do something about it. But I want God to stir a dream and a desire inside of your heart. And I want us to be people that are difference makers. I want you to listen really quickly to what it said of the people of God in Acts the 17th chapter as Paul is in Thessalonica and he's been preaching. He's been reasoning with the Jews in the synagogue for a while. And finally, people get fed up and they go to find him and they can't find him. So they go to Jason's house. Jason is a man that was a friend of Paul, and they drag them out into the streets. And this is what they say in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. This is the end of the verse. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. I believe that as people of God, we can't just sit back and be okay with watching the world go by and everybody go to hell and everybody just get sinful and worse, but we're gonna be people that turn this city upside down. And if you don't believe that that can happen, just keep hanging around because hopefully your faith is gonna be stirred, because I believe we're gonna be the type of people that we're gonna turn this city and this world upside down. I just want to say to you, let's do that. Let's go turn the world upside down. Let's go turn this city upside down. Let's once again, as the body of Christ, as the children of God, the people redeemed by the work of the cross, covered in his spirit, walk out into the marketplace, walk out into the town square, walk into Walmart, walk into Tractor Supply, walk into the grocery store, walk into the restaurant, and let's be people that are once again countercultural. The Bible tells us we should be in the world, but we shouldn't be of the world. What does that mean? That means that we should be different. We should be countercultural. Let's once again, like Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus who hung on the cross and died for us. Let's love like there's no tomorrow, and let's serve as if our life depended on it. Let's carry the message of Jesus Christ with a sense of urgency. You know why they turned the world upside down? Because they truly believed in the gospel. They truly saw there's a sense of urgency. It's not just I can go through my life and make sure that I build up a good 401k and I eventually pay my house off and I eventually get to the place where I get to enjoy my grandchildren and one day I'll get to retire. And I'm not saying that any of those things in and of themselves are wrong. What I'm saying is let's once again get an urgency that if we do not tell people about the message of the cross, then they're gonna go to hell. How will they hear unless there is a preacher? Jesus is still the only way. And if we believe he's the only way, why would we let someone believe there's another way? Yeah. Let's have a sense of urgency. He still redeems. He still restores. He's still worthy of worship. He's still worthy of honor. He's still worthy of devotion. Now, I want to say this. No one would argue with me if I were to state today that America moves the needle in the world. You guys still believe that America is a very influential nation, right? As America goes, so goes the world. Our economy, our politics, everything, you know, America is still a very strong nation in world power, okay? Nobody would argue with me. We are the most influential nation in the world. But so many people would scoff if I were to sit down at a table with you or I were to state right here today, hey, you know what? I believe that the Wellfort Payne can change the world. Everybody, even Christians, would have all of their theological reasons and all of their excuses as to, oh, well, that's cute, Spencer, that the Wellfort Payne could change the world. But you don't understand what you're saying. That's hyperbole. No, it's not hyperbole. That's called faith. Yeah. I truly believe that this church has the power to influence the world. Why? Because it's the Wellfort Payne? Because I'm the pastor? No, because it's the Church of Jesus Christ. Because he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because he is the one who initiated. Now, I understand Alabama is a smaller state when you put it in reference to the other 49 states. I understand that DeKalb County isn't even one of the biggest counties in Alabama. And I understand that Fort Payne would be considered a small town. Guess who else came out of a small town? A man named Jesus. He came out of a very small town. And the problem is we have bought into the mentality that we're too small to change the world. Yeah. We're not going to think small. We're going to think big. Why? Because we don't serve a small God. We serve a big God. We don't serve a weak God. We serve a powerful God. And so when the angel of the Lord, this is getting back to our text now, when the angel of the Lord, he appears to Gideon and he says, hey, you are a mighty man of valor, and the Lord is with you. And Gideon says, if God is with us, then why is all of this happening to us? And where are all the miracles that my dad told me about and his dad told me about and that we've heard that we were delivered from Egypt? Where is all of that? And Gideon, he's in this place. And I don't believe that he's questioning from a place of doubt. I think that he's asking, where is it? Because I want to see it. Where is it? Because I've been longing for it. And I think that that's why the angel picked Gideon and not somebody else's, because Gideon's going, where are the miracles? Because I want to see them. Where is God? Because I've always heard that he would be with us and he would never forsake us. Where is he? And the Lord responds, he says, go in this might of yours. Have I not sent you? And Gideon says to him, how is it that I'm supposed to save Israel? And then he begins to say, I come from the weakest clan in all of Manasseh. Now you have to understand, Manasseh isn't even a full tribe, it's a half tribe. So we've got the smallest clan in a half tribe, and Gideon says, oh, by the way, I happen to be the smallest and the weakest in the weakest clan of the half tribe. So you don't understand, God. You need to go find somebody else because I'm not the one that you're looking for. And I think that so many people miss out on being a difference maker because we go, well, I'm not qualified, God. Hello, I'm not the most talented. Can I just tell you today, you're not going to change the world through your charisma. Yeah. You're not going to change the world through your giftings, through your talents, through your abilities. You will only be a difference maker if you allow him to make a difference through you. That's all he's looking for. So Gideon's basically asking, how can I make a difference? How can I save the world? How can I change the world? I'm the weakest of the weak. What if we shifted our mentality instead of going, oh, ha ha, Fort Payne, the well Fort Payne can change the world. What if we shifted our mentality to have a scriptural basis instead of the basis of failure and not being big enough, not being strong enough? Because once again, if I said America can shift the and can influence the world, we'd all say, yeah, that's why we need a Christian president. But how about you be the Christian God's called you to be in your church, in your community, in your state, in your region, in your nation that will affect the world? So we're going to change our mentality to be like this. If God's for us, who can be against us? Because remember, Gideon says, he says, yeah, but I'm the weakest, I'm the smallest. And God says, yeah, cool, buddy. I will be with you. So just go do it. So God is not concerned with you being perfect and ready and having all the qualifications and having all the talents and having all the abilities. What he's really looking for is you to say, okay, I believe greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I believe that you are able to do what I cannot do. And as long as you're with me, we will be able to get it done. This is our new mentality. You ready for this? What happens in our church will influence our community. I need somebody to believe with me for that. That we don't just come here on Sunday mornings because it's the right thing to do and we're good people and we all think the same, we all look the same, we all talk the same, we all dress the same. I believe that what God is doing here is big enough and powerful enough to influence our community. And what happens in our community will influence our state. What happens in our state will influence our region. What happens in our region will influence our nation. And what happens in our nation will influence the nation's of the world. So if I say America moves the needle, absolutely. The well Fort Payne can change the world. Yeah, okay. That's funny. That's cute, Spencer. No, you don't realize that if we will focus on doing what we can do here, we actually can be a part of influencing the world. Mother Teresa said this, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. I believe that's a good place to start. Yeah. I also believe in a statement that I heard one time that so often we overestimate what we can do in a short period of time and underestimate what we can do in a long period of time. What does that speak to? Do you realize that part of being a difference maker just means being faithful? Just showing up. Do you realize for the first 30 years of Jesus's life, he did no miracles. He spoke no sermons. He did not do anything that was out of the ordinary, but he was faithful and he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. That if you will continue to be faithful to do what God has called you to do, when the time is right, he will use you to do the miraculous because you've been faithful in the thing that was small. He will now make you steward over what is much. I want to say this today. Never underestimate the power of a praying and a willing church. I believe that the reason that we can influence this community is not because we're talented, not because we're perfect, not because we have a great children's program, even though I believe that we do, not because we have the right lights and we have an LED wall and because we have a stage and the walls are painted black. I believe that the reason we can influence this world is because of the power of prayer and being willing to say, God, whatever you want of this house, whatever you want of my life, I will do it. And it's amazing that I'm not trying to be mean to anybody today. I'm not trying to come down on anybody. I'm trying to encourage you to be a difference maker, and I can feel people resisting it. Why? Because there's that spirit of Gideon. Oh, you don't, well, that's cute, Spencer, but you don't realize I've failed in this and I have made this mistake, and just this week you don't even know what I did. No, I don't, but God does, and he still sent me to tell you today that he wants to use you to be a difference maker. But you think because of your past, it's disqualified you of your future. The only thing that can disqualify you from being who God called you to be is if you in this moment say no. Yeah. That's it. If you just say yes, God, whatever you want to do through me, I will allow you. God, you can use my business. God, you can use my family. God, you can use my words. You can use anything that you want. And so many people think they're too old or they're too young or they're too shy or they're too hurt or they're too messed up or they're too flawed or they're too abrasive or they're too weak or they're too scared to be used by God. Yeah. Let me just say, as a member of the family of God. How many of you guys saved and you believe that when you got saved, the blood of Jesus cleansed your life and you became a member of the family, right? You're in the family, okay? And as a member of the family of God, you are now a part of the kingdom, and this is your family. And as a member of the kingdom of God and as a member of this family, you now come, I don't care what your natural family tree looked like, you now come from a long line of flawed failures who God used to do great things. That's your family tree. That's where we come from. You know, that's some things you say, well, it just runs in the family. You know, it runs in the family of God, being flawed failures who God saw fit to use to do extraordinary, miraculous, and crazy things. So people that were as human as you are and as human as I are, yet by his sovereign power, he saw fit to shift the entire landscape of the world through their obedience to his calling. Now, if you're feeling some pressure today, let me remind you of this. It's not you that's going to change anyone. It's not you that's going to save anybody. It's not you that's going to deliver anybody. It's not you that's going to fix anybody's marriage. It's not you that's going to do the miracles. It's what God wants to do through you. So we get so, I can't do it, I can't do it. The book of Romans tells us this: if the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken, or he will give life to your mortal body. And that means that the Spirit that is in you can work through you and can bring life into other people's body. It's not what you and I can do in our own strength, because all of us are limited. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, he can work through us to do what we could not do on our own. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter tells us this, and we're talking about being difference makers. He says, you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You're a chosen generation. I want you to understand that today. I think we have terminologies like the greatest generation. I'm not taking away what they did. They were a great generation. But do you realize that every generation is a chosen generation, because this is the people that God has on this earth at this time? Like I said earlier, for such a time as this, you're a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are God's own special people. But what happens is we go, well, but you know, man, I'm just not gifted that way. Or I'm not built that way. I'm just good at doing this. I'm just good at doing that. I'm not really good at doing that Christian stuff. I'm not good at winning the lost. I'm not good at praying for people. I'm not good at knowing what scriptures to say. I don't have the charisma. I don't have the, you know, you get up there, or you or Madison or Jeff or Pastor Lauren or one of the other staff members, and you guys, y'all can pray. Y'all can teach. Y'all know everything to say. No. Let me tell you today, you are called as much as we are called. It may be in a different way, but you're just as much called by God. He wants to use you in your life the same way that he wants to use us, or he used Daniel, or he used David, or he used Paul, or he used Peter. Listen to what Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, because I believe that he was combating this same very thing, that they had this idea. Some of them were saying, well, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Peter, or I'm of Paul. And he says, is Christ divided? Did I save you? Did Apollos save you? No. It all comes back to Jesus. And I think they'd lifted these men of God up in their eyes to think that, well, they're different than us. They're more special than us. They have a different just way of living than us. But listen what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. He says, For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us the wisdom of God in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let me tell you, God does not have a history of calling the most likely to succeed. In fact, when Samuel went to pick the next king of Israel because Saul had failed miserably in the eyes of God, he showed up at the home of Jesse in Bethlehem and he saw David's oldest brother, Eliab, and he said, surely this, in his mind, surely this is the Lord's anointing. The Lord said, no, that's not the one I want. Samuel goes, okay, bring the next guy in. They bring the next guy in. No, 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 no. And finally, Samuel goes, Jesse, do you happen to have any sons you've forgotten about? And Jesse's like, oh, yes, I did. There's actually, and you think that's funny, but like I've got five, and there is a chance that you could forget one at times. And Jesse goes, yeah, there's one, but we didn't even think that he was worthy to make the lineup, so we just left. Now, I'm paraphrasing. This is from the Spencer unauthorized version, but it's context, okay? Jesse goes, yeah, there's one that he's left out in the field, and I didn't even think you'd want to see him, right? And he says, okay, call for him. We're not going to sit down until he gets here. They call for David, and in walks this little ruddy boy that plays the harp and fights bears and lions while writing songs and tending his father's sheep. And the Lord looks at him and says, that's the one I want right there. Let me remind you in our text that of all the people in Israel, God looked and he found a little boy in the half tribe of Manasseh from the weakest clan who was the smallest one in his clan. And God said, I'll use Gideon. That God surveyed the entire world or the entire nation of Israel, and these are the people that he came up with. Why? Because he's not in the history of calling the most noble. He's not in the history of calling the most wise. He's not in the history of calling the strongest. He's looking for people that would just say, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. I'll make a difference. Yeah. I'll be different. I'll do whatever it is that you're asking me to do. He doesn't have a history of calling the most likely to succeed. No matter your natural skill set or your socioeconomic background, you are a chosen vessel of God to make a difference in the lives of those who are around you. He isn't looking for perfect vessels. He's looking for empty vessels. So often we think, well, when I get my life to this point, then God will use me. No, when you just get to the point where you say yes, God will start to use you. Men and women that would simply say, here I am. Yeah. God, use me however, wherever you see fit. We tend to overcomplicate being used by God and underestimate what he can do with us and what he can do with someone that just says, I'm willing. Yeah. Here I am. Yeah. He's God. Guess what? He can do whatever he wants. And all he wants is for you and I to say, yeah, I'll be a difference maker. Yeah. I'll give my life to you. You can have my money. You can have my time. You can have my efforts. You can have my talents. You can have everything that I am, everything that I have. And I just want to remind you where we started in Acts chapter 17. Those that have turned the world upside down have come here. I'm on a mission to turn this city upside down. I didn't come here just to earn a paycheck. I'm thankful for the paycheck that I get, but I didn't come here just because I didn't have anywhere else to go or nothing else to do, and I was all out of options, so I ended up in Fort Payne. We came here with a mission and a mandate from heaven to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards man, and we will not stop until DeKalb County is saved. And here's the thing, we still don't even have faith to believe, oh yeah, cool, we're gonna see one person get saved and baptized. No, do you realize that on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 people in an upper room, and by the end of the day, there was 3,120 people in the church. The people that got saved far outweighed the people that had originally planted the church. And I would venture to say, even though there's not maybe that many here today, about 120 people call this church their home church. And I believe that we can see 3,000 people get saved. I believe that we can see 15,000 people get saved. That's how many live in this city. Why? Because I'm not going to limit what God can do. But the problem, the reason we don't see God do the things that we read about in Scripture is because we don't have the passion to see them happen. We don't have the desire to see them happen. We're happy with just being happy. We're happy with just being content. Well, my life's good. It's like Hezekiah when the prophet told him, hey, your life things are going to get really bad, but it's going to happen in the days of your son. And Hezekiah goes, whew, at least it won't happen to me. At least it won't happen to me. I don't want to live that kind of life. I want to be a person of compassion. I want to see God move. I don't want to see anybody in this city go to hell. So we're not going to stop until DeKalb County is saved. We're not going to stop until we see revival, reformation, and awakening. We won't stop until this earth that we live in and we possess as human beings looks like heaven, because that's what God wants for this earth. We're not there yet, but we're heading there to a place where hell's in trouble, because I can feel in the church, this church and the church around the world, something stirring in the hearts of people who refuse to live nominal lives, who refuse to just exist and go to church and do what American culture has told us is the right thing to do. I want to live with a burning sense to know God, and for other people to know God through me. So here's what I'm asking God, and I'm asking you to ask, to beseech and pound on the doors of heaven with me with this request. I'm asking God to let us make a positive mark on our community and to let it be known that the Well Fort Payne exists to glorify God and to win souls into the kingdom. But let me say this to you. If we have good services, but we fail to reach the lost, then we have failed, period. If we build a beautiful building, which I want to, and we are, but we fail to disciple the next generation, then we failed completely. If we generate a good brand, but fail to generate righteous men and women, then we have lost track of why we are here. And if to the outside world we look holy, but we don't live holy, then we are way off course of where God wants us to be. And if we claim to be different, but don't make a difference, then we're shysters. You know what a shyster is? Everybody knows what a shyster is. Nobody wants to be called a shyster. That just sounds like it is an insult, but it just sounds terribly insulting to call someone that. I don't want to be a snake oil salesman. It's good for what ails you. We claim that we're different than the world, but when people come into the church, there's nothing that can legitimately make a difference in their life. Listen, I want this to be the type of place, and I want us to be the type of people that when people are dealing with troubles and they're dealing with addictions and they're dealing with demonic oppression and they're dealing with anxiety and they're dealing with fear, that when they run into us, things begin to change and things begin to shift, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And all of a sudden, that person at work that's been depressed or has been an alcoholic for 20 years, they don't have to die that way, because they get to meet the one that has life and life more abundantly. And so I'm not going to just claim to be a difference maker. I want to actually be able to make a difference in people's lives. Whether it's going through the drive-thru and being able to share the gospel with somebody. It can be simple things. It could be, as I said earlier, we overcomplicate being used by God. The question is, will you just say yes to what? To whatever he asks you. I don't know. But here's what the problem is we're like, okay, Spencer, I'll make a difference, but our deal that we're making in our head is this: you've got to define exactly what it is that God wants me to do for me, and then if I go do that and God uses me, then I'll believe you. I'm asking you simply this: you say yes to what God wants you to do. I can give you examples, I can give you analogies all day long about sharing your faith in the drive-thru, helping an alcoholic friend at work, or whatever it is, but so often we think, oh, that's my message. No, your message is this: just go and be used by God. Just do what he's called you to do. And it's like Gene, and I don't want to embarrass you, man, but Gene is an incredibly skilled builder, and we've got these bathrooms in the back, and he comes to me a few weeks after service. He goes, hey, I heard you mention the bathrooms. You need help in the bathrooms? I'm like, yeah, let's go look at it. And he goes, okay. And so we come back there, and he's like, hey, do you have your material for this yet? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, how would you like it if I got it donated? I was like, I would like that very, very much if you got it donated. And guess what? He did. Do you know that Gene is making a difference in the kingdom of God? Because now there are people that are going to be able to come into this place. And I'm not taking away from people like Shane that drew up the plans and Brandon that's worked hours and hours. I'm not taking away from anybody. Everything that we do should be kingdom driven and kingdom focused. But so often we think, well, I can't preach and I can't prophesy and I can't pray in tongues and I can't heal the sick. No, but you know what you can do? You can use what God put inside of you as something that you have an ability and a knowledge that nobody else possesses in this church, nobody else has, and you can use it for the glory and the kingdom of God. And at the end, God gets glory and people's lives get touched. But so often we think, well, you got to be a preacher. You got to be a pastor. No, you just got to be a child of God. I'm no different than you, but this is what God's called me to. So I've got to do this, and I can't try to go do your job and you try to come do my job. We've got to work together as the body of Jesus Christ. You know how we're going to make a difference? It's not by me becoming a better preacher and you becoming a better plumber or a better mechanic or a better school teacher or a better grocery store clerk. It's when we all do it collectively. We're not going to get better just if I get better. We're not going to get better just if you get better. We're going to grow and to make a difference when every single one of us say, Holy Spirit, lead me today. Guide me today. Show me who I need to talk to and what I need to say or when I need to shut up. You realize that sometimes we're undoing the work of God because we think we got to say something and the Holy Spirit's up there going, please stop talking right now, right? How many of you guys, if you have children, I've been in so many conversations with my children and I just want to just cover their mouth. And inside I'm just screaming, please stop talking, right? Because they're just uncovering mom and dad, and just like saying this stuff that's like, no, that's out of context. That's not what I said. That's not how I said it, but that's all that you remember, right? And sometimes I think the Holy Spirit is wanting some people to start talking and some people to stop talking. So just be sensitive to listen to him with that. But I want to say this, we will influence our community. And if we influence our community, we'll influence our state, our region, our nation. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? How many of you believe that God wants us to make a difference? Amen. Amen. If you want to be a difference maker, guess what? You're already a good candidate for one because you're here and you're breathing. That's the requirements. Yeah. Yeah. Just alive and breathing. You're here. If you would bow your head and close your eyes with me. I don't always do this, but I feel led today. If there's anyone here that you need to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart through faith that God has already placed inside of you unto salvation, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you say, you know what, I have wandered, I have backslidden, I've gone away from God. If you want to commit or recommit your life to the Lord, would you just lift your hand this morning? I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today? I see that hand. Anybody else? Father, I pray today that as we commit ourselves to you fresh and new, that you would stir and burn inside of us a passion for your name, a passion for your kingdom, and a desire to be used by you, not so that we could be known, not so that we could be exalted, but so that those that don't know you could come to find a place of home and family and freedom in the kingdom of God. Lord, we're saying, our 5 loaves and 2 fish may not look like much to the world, but in the hands of God, little is much when you have it. Lord, we're saying that it may not seem like we're the most talented or we're the most gifted, but Paul told us, guess what? It's not the most noble. It's not the most wise. God has chosen to use the foolish things and the base things of this world to confound the wise and to confound those that thought they were mighty in their own. And so, Father, we just say, here we are. Would you just lift your hands and surrender? If you're saying, God, here's my life. Use me however you want. Use me at work. Use me at church. Use me at the grocery store. Use me in the drive-thru line. Use me at home, God. Use me, everything that I put my hands to, let it be for your glory. God, I want to make a difference for you. I don't want to build my own name. And God, we don't want to just build the name of the Wellfort Payne, but we believe that you have called us here to make a difference in this community. And so we just start by saying, we surrender to you. Use us for your glory, God. Use us for your might to be revealed and for your name and your fame to be spread. God, we want to burn with passion and desire for you to know you and to make you known. And so, Lord, we're asking that it wouldn't just be about having a good church and having good services, but that we would truly reach our community with the gospel and with the message of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for you to use the giftings and the abilities as people surrender and say, you know, it's not much. It looks like the widow with 2 mites, but but here it is. You know, it's not much. It's just five loaves. It's just two fish, but here it is. It's not much. It's just a jar of oil and one little bin of flour. But when God gets in the mix, multiplication starts to take place. God, do what we can't do for ourselves or in ourselves. We just ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you be a difference maker wherever you go, carrying the kingdom with you, being a royal ambassador for the Lord, holy, sanctified, anointed, and set apart. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, night of worship tonight at 6 p.m. We're going to come in here and go after God with all we have. We love you guys very much. Have a good week.